It's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's me.
And we're live.
Right.
Welcome everyone to this very special Google Hangout for our phenomenal community. My name is Sojourner, but most people call me Sojo. Many of you already know the person that I have with us this evening. Today, I am joined by my friend, my line sister, my podcast co-host, my sun goddess to my moon goddess, all of that good stuff and everything in between, Miss Lady Buddha. It's weird that we're doing this format because we're used to recording our weekly like podcast.
I know.
I'm going to have you on the hot seat as my first phenomenal guest. So how are you?
I'm pretty good. I am looking forward to the conversation. You're going to make me think about things that I actually haven't been thinking about. Just been kind of doing them. So this should be interesting for both of us.
Well, first of all, for those who may be new to the site or they haven't heard our podcast, why don't you tell people just a little bit of background about yourself?
Let's see. Well, I am, I don't even know how to introduce myself, really.
That's like Twitter thing ever, like feminist.
Yeah, I changed that. So right now I think it says enchantress, feminist, it might say Afrofuturist. I put that up there sometimes. In fact, let me just look at it real quick. It says lover, writer, enchantress, feminist, sun goddess. I think that sums it up, actually. Except I would add Buddhist. I put that
right. It really does.
Yeah.
Wait, you forgot peaceful Buddhist.
Hmm?
You forgot peaceful Buddhist.
Not peaceful, just Buddhist.
Okay, so we can go ahead and get real. All right, well. Sometimes she describes herself as a peaceful good Buddhist, but she's also a bully.
No. Let's not get the wrong reverse.
No. Most recently, if you listen to our podcast, Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine, you guys know that she bullied me into trying Shailene Johnson's 30-day push program. You can stop making the faces.
Bully you. You over time.
You were also the one that bullied me onto Facebook. You bullied me onto Twitter and, you know, all that good stuff. Speaking of which, they can find you at NDC Harp, like the instrument harp. But I say all that to say because when I first got on Twitter and on Facebook, one of the things that I noticed about you right off the bat is that you had kind of like this daily cyber routine. Like you had a sign on time and a sign off time.
Mm-hmm,
and then I noticed that you had like in between this thing where you were tweeting and hashtagging about temple building. And so that's what intrigued me back then. And, you know, since I started the site and all of this self-care stuff, I've always wanted to kind of, you know, just chop it up with you one-on-one to talk about this temple building thing. So I guess my first question for you is, how do you define temple building and what's your like temple building origin story?
It's funny because, and that's one of the things I mean about the fact that I hadn't thought about a lot of this stuff because it's something that I do, but I hadn't really considered what it is exactly. Like I never actually had to explain to another person how I would define it. But I would say, if you think about you being as a spirit having a human experience, which is how I tend to view life and things that go on the earth, that we're spirits having a human experience, then I think that temple building is about edifying the place of that spirit.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's about strengthening all the aspects of that you can control. So that can be the mind, the body, the spirit, and any of those interconnections. So I think it's about keeping those healthy and strong and always improving. That's kind of a big theme or a mantra or guiding principle of my life. It's always about trying to be, you know, your best self. So trying to improve. Yeah.
So did you, like, when did you start using, when did you start to use, like, the hashtag Templebend? Was that something you saw online? Was that something that you just decided, hey, my body is a temple, I'm building it? Like, what drew you to that?
It's funny because I tried to go look it up. The first person that I associated with the idea or the phrasing is Crisp Coco on Twitter. And I found the original tweet. Now, we don't have Topsy anymore, but it looks like the first tweet was me actually using it as a hashtag and telling her that she was my inspiration because she goes to the gym every day. And I just said, hashtag temple building. Look, you are my inspiration. I went running this morning. You have to go. Who will inspire me if you don't? That was the first hashtag that I could find of temple building. And I think she kind of mentioned it in reference to a couple of things, like maybe going to church and then maybe going to the gym, but not as a hashtag and maybe at separate times. And I just happened to notice because that was back when I read every tweet of everybody that I followed. And so I just kind of adopted that as a way, just a hashtag, because I was using hashtags at the time, and that was 2010, just to kind of communicate what I was doing. So it was I think it was really organic in that way. And at the time, it was more focused on just the exercising, probably in that moment. But I just think over time, I naturally used it to include all the things that I do, which is not just exercise.
And that's kind of what I want to get into, because you really are the real deal. You know, we've been on social media enough to know that some people will get on just to send a tweet, or they'll talk about what they're doing, or they'll go to the gym and take a picture and not really work out, or, you know, whatever. But I had a chance to actually witness the whole temple building thing in action. But let me just pause for the cause a little bit, because I do see a couple of people coming in to join to watch. Uh-huh. I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with Google Hangout. But if you're new to Google Hangout and you are logged into your Google account, you can click on the top, I think it's the top right-hand corner, where it says Q&A. And that will actually pull up like a little sidebar where you guys can chat if you want to. You can post questions for us, or if you you know, have a comment, or you want us to read it or anything like that, don't be shy. This is super informal. You know, you got to just sit and listen to us talk. We really want you guys to put in your input, too. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, because you don't have Google Hangout, you can tweet us. Of course, my Twitter handle is phenomenal. Lady Buddhas is at NDC Harp. So you guys can, you know, just kind of chime in that way. But getting back to you being the real deal, I always tell this story.
Yes, you do.
The baby claps, because how long ago was that? Was that like 5 years ago? Maybe six.
It might have been 4 years ago, because it was probably 2012 based on the apartment I was in.
Okay. Yeah. So I went to go visit her down in Tampa, and I was low key like, you know, I've seen all the social media stuff, but surely she doesn't get up that early in the morning and start, you know, temple building or whatever the hell it is. So I was like, I'm just going to chill and watch and see what the real Lady Buddha does, you know, whatever. So I was asleep and I hear like this clap, 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 like this rhythmic clapping. And I was thinking that my lion sister, who loves me, who I've grown up with, who I've gone to high school with, who I've gone to college with, has made me breakfast in the morning and she's cooking me bacon, because that's what it sounded like hot grease popping. So I'm like, yeah, but I don't.
That's dangerous.
I was like, yeah, but I don't smell any bacon. But then I started to listen, and then I said, wait, this heifer has an exercise DVD on. And I think at one point you were like, yeah,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I engage with Shailene. We're like going back and forth, like, yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I know. And I was sitting here, I think I actually tweeted, like, really? Really?
You did. We should go back and find those tweets later. But yeah.
We really should. But one of the things, too, was that, you know, you also have a spiritual prep kind of side to you, because I don't want this temple building like conversation to just be about like, what's your exercise routine? I want to talk about the holistic part of it. Mm-hmm. So of course, from your name, we see that you're a practicing Buddhist. You know, I know that. Okay, tell me if I'm pronouncing it wrong. Is it Daimoku?
Daimoku. Mm-hmm.
Aha. Yeah. So I also got a chance to see you chant and just go through basically everything that you do. And then now that you're on Snapchat, guys, I have lured her into Snapchat.
Because you're the real bully. That's why.
I just like you on Snapchat. But mm-hmm. She's only been on Snapchat for a couple of weeks. But one of your very first Snap stories was you going through your whole temple building thing. So you mm-hmm. went with how you wake up in the morning. Like, kind of describe like what your day is from the time you wake up.
So I can describe today, actually. I try to wake up before 5 a.m. is the goal so that I can be ready to start chanting. I have an altar set up by 5 a.m. and I try to chant from 5 to 6 a.m. That's, you know, an ideal schedule. That's what I do right now. And then I, you know, read a couple of daily, I guess the best way to describe them is daily devotionals, but they're Buddhist texts. For a couple of minutes, and then I shift gears to where I say something like hydrating, motivating for. So I put some different clothes on, workout clothes or whatever, and then I go and get my hydrating mixture, which right now is a combination of orange juice and coconut water, like half and half, just about, and this powder that I use from a company called Vega Sport. It's an endurance formula, so it's like a mild caffeinated boost of like ginseng and stuff like that. But it really is to help you power through when you're going to be exercising for up to an hour or something like that. So I drink that. It takes about 15 minutes to fully kick in. So I'm like getting dressed and pulling out my weights if I'm going to lift weights, or my yoga stuff if I'm going to do yoga, or, you know, just whatever else I need to get ready if I'm going to leave to go run. And then, you know, I get started after that. And usually my workouts are anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, but typically 50 minutes to an hour is probably what I do for the most part. And then I get dressed and go on with my day, which usually also includes journaling. When I'm really good, I journal in between. So I'll chant, then journal as I'm getting hydrated, and then exercise. So that kind of...
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I said, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, I try to do that. I haven't been able to do it in the last couple of weeks that organized. But when I'm on it, that's how I do it. Lately, I've been kind of just saving that part and not really stressing myself out, and just kind of waiting until later in the morning when things have settled down. And then I'll, do my morning words, which is really a stream of consciousness dump of writing. And I got that from, a writer creative named, Julia Cameron. She does The Artist's Way. And it's a whole program she does to help you get unblocked. But the central part of it is these daily words. You're supposed to write 3 pages freehand to just get stuff out of your mind. You're supposed to be first thing in the morning. But I had to tweak it so that I could make sure that I get my exercise in before kiddos are waking up and trying to ask questions. Yeah, you know, and that kind of thing. So that's why I have to restructure based on my current lifestyle versus how things would have been when I lived by myself.
And I want to kind of get to that too, but I want to go back to the chanting, the spiritual prep before that, because how long have you been practicing Buddhism?
It'll be 16 years next month.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, okay. So I know that you've always been a pretty organized person.
That's true.
Were you always like, before you named it temple building, did you have a routine before what you're starting to do now?
I did. I was looking back at some old blogs because I kind of know some of this, and because, like I say, but at the same time, I never really thought about it because I've been doing it so long. But even when I was a classroom teacher, which was from 2000 to 2006, around that time period, 2005 or 2006, I was already doing this stuff. So since I started practicing Buddhism in 2000, so I always already had a morning routine of getting up and chanting as part of what I needed to do in the morning. And at that time, I actually would get up, chant, exercise. I only did 30 minutes at that time. That's all I could do. Got dressed, you know, ate, took breakfast or whatever, and went to work. And I was at work 30 minutes away by 7 a.m. And I was an elementary school teacher. So it was just important to me to get all that done because I felt like that was my best chance at being energized and in a good mood and arriving early enough so that I could be present for kids. Anybody who spent a time around kids know that they got to come in and say, you know, Miss Nicole, you know, how, you know, let me tell you about my day. And I got to tell you what my brother did yesterday. You know, they just got to tell you their stories. So yeah. I wanted to be
the
present.
The moment you walk in, right. If you don't have that downtime, it will drain.
So they hit the door at 7:30. So I needed 30 minutes of silent time in my room prepping. So I had to back up, you know, everything I did, which included getting up early enough to make all that happen and going to bed early enough to make sure I got up early enough to make all that happen. So I had kind of a strict don't call me past 9 rule back then.
And see, that's the thing, too. Like, I'm noticing as I get older that I'm starting to go to bed earlier, but also I'm starting to wake up earlier. Mm-hmm. And so now that I do that, it's like, it's great because I can now have a routine. Now I'm one of those people where you've always been very structured. I mm-hmm. will start out being structured and then it just all falls apart. So what I'm realizing about myself is that I have to have structure, but it has to be varying structure. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like I'm starting to get up at like 4:45, 5 o'clock now. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I always try to start my day with something spiritual. Like I'll, you know, read spiritual text or I'll try to write or pray or, you know, whatever. But then after that, it's like I have to wean myself off of, okay, am I going to exercise this morning or am I going to lay in bed and just let my body rest? Not go back to sleep, but just rest. Or am I going to look at Snapchat? I mean, what am I going to do, you know, with that extra time? So I'm having to now that I'm training myself to get up earlier, I'm having to figure out what to do with that extra time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to get to work earlier so I can have, because you say 30 minutes of downtime. For me, it's more like 45 minutes, maybe, an hour, because I'm an introvert. And the pulling of the you know, that thing is something serious. So I'm trying to figure out really that's kind of why I wanted to talk to you, was just about like building those routines or building that structure in, you know, to just kind of make sure that I have something that's kind of consecutive with me or even if there's somebody that's watching or listening, you know, how to actually build that into our day. Cause you know, like you said, you even had to change it when your lifestyle changed. It was one thing living on your own and being able to do your things your way. It's another thing entirely to be married with children and having children in the home.
Wait, let's pause and say that again. It's another thing entirely. Okay.
That was the other thing for me too. When, you know, I know a lot of you have only known me for maybe if you've been listening to the podcast, really 3 years, but you guys didn't know me back in 2007 through 2000 or 2006, five, whatever, through 2009 when my niece was living with me. Like that completely changed the structure of not just of my mornings, but of my life entirely, trying to build in those moments, you know, for yourself that you have to do.
You have to. It's non-negotiable. You have to.
Let's go back to the fitness thing.
Okay.
So a few years ago, we used to hear things all the time about Black women not wanting to exercise for whatever reason. I know people would say that we didn't want to get our hair messed up or men didn't want us to lose our curves or, you know, whatever, whatever. I just kind of wanted to get into the fact versus fiction of this. And I asked because the majority of women I know do some type of exercise in some way, shape, or form. I'm seeing, like, especially with social media, I see sweatshirt hashtag.
Right, they do the sweatshirt.
I see gym pictures hashtag, you know, whatever. So let's get into Black women and fitness. Like, how has your fitness routine evolved over the years?
It's interesting because I have always been athletic. So in elementary school, I did gymnastics. I ran around a lot. So just naturally in the neighborhood. So when I got to high school, I ran track. You know, I was a cheerleader. So I've always done something active. So it was kind of, in college, I didn't do anything structured active, but I think that all the dancing we did at the club counts.
Shredding, those were calorie burn.
All that stuff, you know, it counts because it is movement. And in that particular way, if you really are dancing at the club, it's almost like sprinting because you're dancing, you're sweating, and you break and your heart rate goes down and you bring it back up. It's true, you know, and I bring that up because a few years after when I wasn't going to the gym or doing anything like that, which I have gone to, I have been a member of gyms over the years at different times, but there was a time period around 2007 when I started salsa dancing, and I loved it so much that I did it so many hours a week that my body changed. I mean, I had to go get clothes altered, and that was the only thing I was doing. I hadn't changed what I was eating. I hadn't changed anything. I was doing serious cardio in short bursts over time. And so it just really, and then, you know, ab work. So it just changed everything. I think that I've always had some kind of connection to movement. And it wasn't until I started moving less that, or times when I'm moving less, that I really am like, I'm not feeling good. Oh, I haven't been doing any movement. I need to incorporate that. So it's one of those things that, and this is why I like to call myself a reflection advocate, because just paying attention to myself, I just realized naturally that that's what was missing. So I actively sought ways to put it in. And I never try to tell people what the way has to be. I mean, it could be the gym or not the gym, or dancing or walking, or, I mean, there's so many ways that you can just put movement in your life. That's the key. But for me, I just realized over time that I feel better when I do something. So I just add it into the schedule. So it's not even am I going to do something? I'm definitely doing something. The question is what?
I see a comment in the chat from Val. She says, and we're going to circle back a little bit, going back to when we, you know, talked about kind of like, the times of the quiet time. She says, in regarding the temple building, do you have any designated quiet times, daily, weekly, or how often?
Mm-hmm.
Complete silence. Is that what you mean, Val?
Well, I'll kind of just address that. Part of that is back to what we were talking about earlier. My daimoku, when I'm chanting in the morning, you know, that's a time where, you know, it's not, the television isn't in the background. There's nothing else going on. It's just the sound of my voice. That's it. I don't practice a traditional meditation except for when I feel, again, when I feel off center, or I feel like I'm not listening very well to myself. So then I'll bring in silent times. But I do also have to incorporate at night, for instance. By the end of the day, I get overwhelmed because I think I'm sensitive to energy, right? So that comes in the form of sound, light, smells, everything. So by a certain time, you can look at me. My husband's going to be like, okay, how are your whelms? That's our check-in. When I start to feel overwhelmed, so then I have to go do something. Usually that thing is... we have a couple of places in the house now that are kind of, we call it the quiet room, where one or either of us will go and just lay down. It's dark, it's quiet, nobody's in there with us, it's just quiet. So I'll do that as needed, or I'll go to bed before everyone else, even if I'm not all the way sleepy yet, just to get that time where I can kind of like a cat, just be where it's silent and comfortable and quiet, you know, quiet and dark. So I have to do that. Usually at night. In the mornings, that's the reason why I get up so early, to make sure I just have private time, but it doesn't have to be silent time. I just need it to be on my own terms. So sometimes I have music, but I don't want to hear anyone else's music. So
I know for me, I've learned when I was younger, I used to have to wake up and immediately hear music. I had to have something going. Now, I don't want to hear anything until I've been up maybe 30 minutes. Like, I need just something. I need complete silence. The other thing is, when I get to work, like I said, I get there. I used to get there maybe 30 minutes early. Well, when, you know, at first I used to come in right at the time and I realized that was draining on my spirit. So I said, okay, I need to get there 30 minutes early. And now I'm noticing I need 45 minutes. One of the things, as you mentioned, is I'm very sensitive to sound too, and electronics. Now I'm in my room right now, and this is something that is very odd for me. You guys can see my television is actually in my room. For years, I've been in my home for over 10 years now, and you know this because you've been in my house. I used to never have a television in my bedroom because it's almost like I can hear electricity.
You can. Like, I can.
Yeah, you can hear, like, if your phone is on, because I wouldn't have my phone anywhere near me, or a radio. Things had to be unplugged because I could feel it. I've gotten a little bit more lax now because of Netflix and Hulu and, you know, everything else is one of those things. But I know that I need to take this TV out because it's not necessarily good for my spirit, too, because at night I do need to have that designated quiet or else my sleep isn't going to be, you know, as comfortable as it normally is. So, yeah, that quiet time is definitely needed because that's your re-energizing part. Hold on, I'm trying to. Oh yeah, she said the same thing. We're tuned out from tech stuff, TV, etc. Now, Uta, you had a social media sign off.
I did. I had a sign on and a sign off.
And I think, you know, with social media nowadays, I'm starting to learn that I need to, like, for example, if I can't sleep, instead of laying there in the silence, what's the first thing we do? We check our phones and see, you know, what's happening.
So what's going on? What people doing?
Exactly. I'll get on there and say, Insomniacs Unite. And then I'm reading what somebody else is saying. And then I'm not going back to sleep or, you know, doing whatever. And sometimes we got to just stop that because that is distracting us from our bodies, you know, getting rest. I know with full moons, whenever there's a full moon, I can't
just give it up.
Yes, I can't sleep. So those are the times y'all might see me on there at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning because I can't, you know, whatever. But I know that I used to be really bad when I first got on like Facebook and Twitter about being there at all times of the night. But then I, you know, like Val, just tune out from the tech stuff because you can't get addicted to that. And don't let the TV play all night long. You know, they used to turn television off for a reason.
Turn it off. They sure did. Stars and bars. That's it.
Okay. Let's see. Next thing I want to talk about. You said that you had started, like, you know, found your salsa dancing. I did want to talk about like the different types of movement that women can do because I think that sometimes we feel like if we're not exercising in a certain way, people tend to think that you're not exercising.
Right.
Like if you don't have a gym membership or if you're not running, you know, however many miles or, you know, whatever, that you're not really exercising. But you kind of touched on the salsa dance that I love to belly dance. That's my, you know, that's my thing. I have a gym membership. If you're on Snapchat, you saw me go to the gym for the first time in April.
We saw evidence that you go to the gym.
Listen, I low-key wanted to take a selfie to say I'm here.
Yes.
And then like 15 minutes later, take a selfie of myself back in bed. But no, I had to find out what my exercise thing was because... Yeah. Again, you know, I can't do the same thing every day or even the same thing every day for a certain amount of months. I may be in a dance mood for 2 or 3 months, or I may be in a running mood for this time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you have to find what your groove is to get yourself moving. But the most important thing is movement.
Yes.
You know, that you touched on. Are there any favorite programs, apps or anything like that that you use for your routines, exercise, you know, things?
Right now, all of my stuff is either running outside, which I do have. I do have some programs that I kind of do in affiliation with that, and Beachbody DVDs. So right now, the ones in rotation are Pyo, which is sort of a combination between Pilates and yoga. That's how they brand it. it's a little bit more active than that, I think, but it engages your core, and there's some stretching and strengthening involved that kind of looks a lot. I mean, there's a lot of yoga poses involved. And then I do body pump, which I first discovered actually when I was in graduate school at the gym at my university. They had the live classes, and that was the first time that I really liked lifting weights. Because again, I've been an athlete, so I've been in weightlifting rooms, you know, like for track, and I have been in weightlifting rooms just going to the gym and getting a personal trainer or whatever when they try to, you know, they try to upsell you so you get a few free sessions, that kind of thing. But I just hated that stuff. I'm like, I just want to pick this thing up and just keep, you know, up and down, up and down. But body pump, I like just because it's choreographed. They have music. It's 10 tracks. It's all the muscle groups. And, you know, it's this nice, fun music and these predictable moves. And so it kind of moves very quickly. So those are the three. So running, body pump, and Pyo. With the running, I use Runkeeper. I used to use it while running. Now I use it to log my running, but they also have access to a lot of free programs. So if you want to run a sub 30 or less than 30 minutes 5K, 3 miles, or a less than 60 minute 10K, or if you want to do a fat burning routine or, you know, those kinds of things, they have some free ones and some paid ones. So I've only been doing the free ones. I do their fat burning one. So when I'm just tired of just running, just steady state, I do the fat burning. So it kicks up your metabolism a little bit, kind of changes.
I was doing my run, and then I realized that I had a Runkeeper account for a while that I never used. So I started back doing that. I also found, I'm trying to look for it, it's a new thing. It's a 7-minute workout.
Oh yeah, I've heard of those.
Mm-hmm. Here it is. I haven't started it yet. I actually just downloaded the app the other day, but it's really cool. It's actually free, and it's a 7-minute workout where they give you basically the same exercises. They give you 12 of them, and they actually demonstrate them for you. And this is the thing about technology. There's really no reason why we can't stay active, because there's so many ways, you know, to keep active. This one actually has a reminder. It'll tell you, like, if you haven't logged on in a week, do you want to set a reminder, you know, right, saying, hey, you haven't logged on? Or if you want a daily reminder saying, hey, it's 8 o'clock, you got 7 minutes, you know, right, you want to. That actually comes in very handy, because I know sometimes, especially as women, especially if you have families and careers and all that, even just trying to squeeze in the time to do those things becomes hectic, because we're always taking care of other people, but we've got to schedule in some type of time for ourselves. So using some sort of app maybe to track, you know, because that way you can even look back and say, whoa, it's been 3 weeks and I haven't, you know, done any type of exercise at all. What's the problem? Do I not have an hour? Okay, if I don't have an hour, do I have 30 minutes? If I don't have 30 minutes, maybe I have 7, you know?
So, that's the thing. I think you really hit the nail on the head when you said scheduling, you know, because your calendar doesn't open itself up. Like, you know, you have to say, okay, let me look. And so when I was in graduate school, this is probably the first time I had a big decline in my physical activity and realized that that wasn't going to work. My eating habits were crazy, but I also just kind of felt a little crazy just because of the way grad school was as a full-time student and kind of not interacting with people a lot. And so I realized I needed to incorporate exercise again on purpose. And what I would do at first was just kind of like that. Oh, well, when I finish reading this chapter, when I finish doing this thing, I'll go run or outside or walk or whatever I was going to do. And it would be like, you know, an hour would pass and, oh, but I just need to read this other thing and then I'll go. And so here it is. I'm watching the sun go down and I'm like, if I don't go right now, it's going to be too late and I'll just go tomorrow and that sort of a thing. And I had to get real with myself and say, no, that's not how the world works. Just like, you know, you have class at 2 p.m., you need to schedule what time your exercise is going to be. And that's your time that you're going to go exercise. So, you know, you can't schedule it at a time where someone else might infringe on that time, which is how I got it to be first thing in the morning. It's one of the ways that it became first thing in the morning. You know, I couldn't rely on, for me, I couldn't rely on having the time to do it after work because I had so many other evening activities and my schedule varied too much. The only thing I knew for sure I could control is how early can I, I can get up in the morning that nobody else was going to be like, I need you to do such and such. Nobody's making an appointment with me at 5 or 6 a.m. So I can make an appointment with me at 5 or 6 a.m. So that's what I started to do. That was just the time. And to the degree that I was very serious about this is an appointment and I have to schedule my day around this appointment, I made different choices because I knew that, well, my extra, I better press back when you came to visit in Florida. I think that my time, my start time was 6 a.m. And that meant that I was already had pressed the DVD and Shailene was doing the warm up at 6 a.m. just like we walked into the gym, because then I wasn't going to have the time later on. So I just had to make it an appointment. So it was a commitment to the time, not just when I have time, because you ain't gonna never have the time. You got to create the time. You have to, you know, purposely carve out the time.
And I think that goes back to not just the exercising thing, but also just kind of self-care in general.
Yes.
Because if you, nobody's going to, you know, every now and then people may say, hey, why don't you do something for yourself? But that's not necessarily going to be something that somebody's going to remind you to do daily or consistently. Mm-hmm. So you have to make that time for yourself. Like maybe even if you look at your calendar for the week or you look at your calendar for the day and you say, make an appointment with me, you mm-hmm. know, and me can be whatever. It can be like Val was talking about, the quiet time. It mm-hmm. can be, you know, the prayer or meditation or chanting. It could be the 7 or 30 minutes or an hour of exercise. It could be yep. the, you know, my appointment time is my bedtime is, you know, whatever that is. And that's my appointment with myself to go to sleep. So, yeah. you know, making yourself a priority, just like we make appointments for everything else. We make appointments to take our kids to the doctor or, you know, schedule this meeting with our boss or, you know, do whatever. We need to start scheduling appointments with ourselves for various things too, and carve it out. And you can even put it on your calendar. Nobody has to know that that's, you know, whatever. You can name it like an appointment with, I don't know, Lucy, you know, right. Lucy Walker, you know what I'm saying?
You give can yourself tell whatever you want. Yeah. And if you give have, yourself a yeah.
no, I can't do that at 4:30 today. I have an appointment.
I have an appointment. You. I have an appointment. That's the end of the discussion. You ain't got to know with whom or where or why.
Well,
I gotta
why? Know. Right.
You know, but see, that was kind of my first, that's when I realized it, because the first time that I did that and I made an appointment, as soon as I made it, my advisor was like, hey, let's meet. And the window that she wanted was the first appointment that I made for myself. And she's really busy. And I was like, okay, now I can break my very first appointment with myself, or I can tell her I'm not, you know, available and let's work it out. And as a brand new graduate student, I didn't feel comfortable. However, I knew that she also took exercise and movement and all that stuff very seriously. She took healthcare in general very seriously. So I just told her, I told her the whole thing. I made an appointment to exercise at that time.
And so you were truthful.
I was true because it was my first time. So I just felt like I just had to come clean with it. Now I don't got to tell nobody nothing. But at that time I was just like, you know, I made an appointment to exercise with myself. So can we do it at another time? And she was like, oh, of course. I definitely don't want to enter. Like, she was so overly supportive about it that it gave me the confidence that, okay, this is not a problem. This is a valid choice. And that I don't have to explain to anybody else now, because now I can feel confident that that's the right thing. So from then on, that was 2007. From then on, I'm never worried about whether or not anybody else understands what my appointment is. I just have it.
You know what's actually interesting is that I've only been doing the whole basically living out loud with my self-care mm-hmm. since January. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think last year maybe was me trying to play around with it. But 2016 is when I'm like, I'm here. This is, you know, self-care is a thing. We're going to make this a thing, you know, whatever. What I'm finding now the more vocal I am about it, the more supportive people are in my life, because I'm starting to say things like, you know, that's not good for my self-care, or self-care doesn't allow me to blah, 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 blah. Right. Or have you thought about self-care? Or, you know, even just having conversations with my coworkers where they're like, you know, I should da, 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 da. And I'm like, well, for self-care, why don't you da, 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 da. And I'm starting to notice that instead of it being something shameful, or instead of people actually looking and saying, you know, well, you still have to blah, blah, blah. I'm starting to notice that people are like, either you're right, or I never thought about it that way.
Right.
Or, oh my goodness, well, let's try to figure out. It's becoming one of those things where, and I think this is what I had to learn, and what I'm hoping that, you know, if you're listening, or you started joining the group and started practicing that yourself, I'm hoping that, you know, by us making it a lifestyle as opposed to one of those things where you tiptoe around and you're almost ashamed to have to say it, once it becomes a lifestyle, people can't take that from you.
They should. Like, it becomes a part of who you
are. So, yeah. But temple building at various stages of life, because in our community, we have everybody is, I think the youngest person we have that's a member of Phenomenal is like 20.
Okay. Oh, welcome.
The oldest person, you guys, is 75.
All so right, youngin'.
Yeah, so we have a wide range of ages here. Y'all, my college roommate just...
she sent you a question. I heard a little ding.
Look, yeah, she put it on WhatsApp. Okay. Hi, Helkster. She said that she wants to do a question or a comment, but she can't figure it out. WhatsApp me and I'll read it.
That's awesome.
No, but like with the various stages of life, since we have like a wide, you know, a wide age group that we have here, let's talk about like what maybe temple building. She told me, no. What does self-care, or what does temple building look like in your 20s versus your 30s, your 40s, 50s, and, you know, and beyond? Like, what did temple building look like for 20-year-old Buddha? And we talked about, like, the club, you know, kind of dancing or, you know, whatever. But what did a healthy Buddha look like?
In my early 20s, I don't think I paid it any attention at all. Like, let me think about that. Was I going to, no, that's not true. I was going to the gym in the early 20s, because that's when I actually was a member of a gym at that time. And that's just back again, because I grew up that way, but I didn't go out of my way to eat any particular way. I didn't have a spiritual practice in my early 20s. I wasn't reading a lot of spiritually guided texts or anything at that time. So I wasn't doing any kind of mind, you know, edification of the mind on purpose at that time. So I was just kind of, you know, having fun, doing the things that you do in your 20s, whatever those are, and, you know, just work it out from time to time. And I think it just was, I think at the same time that I started practicing Buddhism which was in my mid-20s, is when I started to just, in general, pay more attention, because that's kind of what the philosophy is all about, be awareness, basically. So I just started paying more attention and making small choices. So I just think it just kind of evolved over time, right? And I think that probably the most important thing that will be true no matter the decade is always going to be to develop your intuition and make time to pay attention to yourself and see what resonates with you. Right. Like, I think that if I had to summarize my approach to temple building, is I just want to feel good and I want to look good. That's it. Right. So there's a whole bunch of ways that can happen. And some of those things.
How do you want to feel? Because that can be, I want to feel energetic. Yes. I want to feel, I don't know, or I want to look good, or I want to
feel sexy. I want to move gracefully. I want to. And so I think that when you know that part, then you can say, how is this aligning with how I'm feeling right now? So for instance, Payo is one of my favorites right now, but I avoided yoga. If you would know how much I actively was anti, I don't like yoga. I didn't like yoga because I tried it out and I just didn't like it whenever it was. But one particular winter, I just felt run down. And in fact, it was 2014. And I just felt like my body was literally calling, Nicole, please stretch. Just do some stretching, some kind of stretching. And I had seen in social media people talking about Payo and they loved it. And I said, well, maybe that's something different I can try. Like Shailene, I already know her, and let me just give it a try. And it was so awesome. Like it was such a good choice. But I wouldn't have paid that any attention if I wasn't listening to myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think that's the important part. Like, I don't lift weights all year long. But when I start to feel like I don't feel powerful, like I talk about goddess energy. But part of that to me is not just kind of this delicate floating or whatever some people may think of it as, but I think of it as power.
Right.
Strength. And I think that part of I think that's also sexy. So, you know, I'm not bulking up like a, football player or anything, but I'm working on my cuts, that kind of thing. But I just like to feel strong. And so that's when I'm saying, well, if I need to feel strong, what do? You have to do some strength training. And what does that involve? Some kind of calisthenics or lifting weights. So let me go find a program that does that. So it's based on what I need at the time and the way that I like it, because I know I'm not going to go to the gym and, like I told you, get those dumbbells and just be out on the floor with the with the free weights. But I knew that I liked the music and kind of the at home. I don't have to spend time in the car commuting to do my DVD pump program. So it's kind of, it comes together organically like that. And I think that's true through the ages. Like we talked about my aunt on the podcast, who is 86. She's still active. She does yoga though. And she just does it maybe once or twice a week. She does it actually at her church with some other ladies around her age, but that's her way of staying active. In addition to all the other things she does to keep her mind active, that's her body active. And then I have another aunt who's in her 70s. And what she does is there's a community exercise in her neighborhood. There's just somebody who just has a little class in their clubhouse. So she just goes like once or twice a week, or goes walking once or twice a week. It's not anything serious, but it's just something to keep her active and moving. So that's just what she needs. She looks great. And that's the right amount of movement for her.
Well, I think too, like when I was in my 20s, and I didn't do it based on, because I grew up dancing. So, mm-hmm. But when I went to college, I didn't have like the routine that I had when I was a dancer growing up at home. Because growing up at home, it was like every evening was dance all day. Saturday from sun up to sundown was dancing, and you had Sundays off, but you went back on Monday. I mean, all that. So when I got to college, it was like, "Whoo! I don't have to do any of that anymore." And then when I was a senior in college, and I think when I started in grad school, I joined a gym and I started kickboxing because I wanted to feel.
I can see that. I can see you doing that.
Strong and it was awesome. I mean, I had my boxing gloves. I was kick, box, all that stuff. And that was how I wanted to temple build in my early 20s. Like you said, with a spiritual thing, when I was in my early 20s, I was more researching spiritually, like I wanted to know biblical text. I wanted to know the history. I wanted to know all of that. So even though I would wake up early in the morning, that's what I was doing. I was devouring, like, what was the translation of this and that, and the other. So that was temple building for me in my early 20s. In my mid 20s, I had a gym membership and a routine. I was teaching. I was like, okay, this is my routine. It was similar to what yours was. Mm-hmm. In 30s, that's when I got custody of my niece, and it was like the bottom fell out. I was just like, I just want to make it, from day to day. Mm-hmm. And then I think in my late 30s and now early 40s, the way that I want to feel is just like you said, powerful. I want to be sexy. I want to move, so I started to get back into the dance, but I didn't want it to be something that overtook everything I did. So I had to find a different way to balance. And then when I think 60-year-old Sojo or 70-year-old Sojo, I know she's going to want to do something that's feisty. She's still going to want to be dancing. She's still going to want to, you know, do those things. So, when I think about temple building at different age groups, I don't think we ever stop moving. I think that, you know, we find ways that make us feel the way we want to feel. Like if in my 70s, I feel like I need to be more flexible, you might find me stretched out doing like, you know, hot yoga or, you know, something.
Yeah, you might get a bar.
Right, or something, you know, maybe in my 50s, I'm going to say, you know what, I need to be stronger. So maybe I'm lifting. So, I mean, I think that, you know, we have to keep in mind that we don't have to stay the same in our temple building habits.
Amen.
As people grow older, especially since our lifestyles will change so much. Like my life 3 years ago, you know, even for you, of course, you know, has changed dramatically. So
dramatically.
Right. Okay. So talking about lifestyle changes, we know you got married, you had children, your routine went from basically living on your own for all these times and then moving into a home, having to acclimate all that stuff. We talked about how your routines have changed. But you also had some health things that happened. You want to talk about that kind of, like where that kind of started?
You're talking about my experience with fibroids?
Yes, I am.
You know, that started a while ago. I was looking back and think it was probably around 2009 or 2010 when I first started to get an inkling that something was up. And so it was from that time up until the end of 2015 when I had a hysterectomy and, you know, kind of came to the end of that part of the journey. So it was kind of an ongoing thing that became a bigger issue as time went on, and I looked for ways to deal with it. I tried to, you know, do some more natural things and less invasive things and, you know, watching and waiting and just trying different things over time until finally, you know, I just decided that surgery was going to be the option that made the most sense for a variety of reasons. But, you know, it's interesting because even in just the recovery process from a major surgery, you get a new sense of listening to yourself. Like you have to respect the boundaries that your body says, no trick. You're not about to go run 3 miles. You can't even walk for 10 minutes without having to go home and take a nap. So, you know, it really becomes, okay, this is as much as I can do, and that's fine. And really being respectful with yourself and then kind of, you know, relearning and starting over, and that's fine. So it just kind of gives you a new way to pay attention, I guess. But yeah.
That's something about you had an inkling, and this is kind of something that I wanted to touch on with our community too. With our healthcare as women, sometimes we are so busy, or we are so used to operating in a certain mode. Both you and I have talked about blood pressure related things. We're so used to operating and keeping moving no matter what's happening with our health that sometimes you can get a pebble, you know, going at you, and you're just like, I'll wait, you know, 2 or 3 months, or I'll wait, you know, a year and see what happens, or time gets away from you. And then, you know, you may have another issue that may not have been addressed, or an issue that's related to another issue that you didn't even realize that you had. And I just wanted to kind of touch back to the inkling things. Like how long did it take you to realize the difference between this is something that's normal and may go away, or something's really going on here? Like, what was the...
I don't remember exactly, just because it was so long ago. And it really was kind of a gradual thing where I was like, okay, well, I'm at a different age, because I literally was right around 35, or like, you know, 35 to 37, somewhere in that mid to late 30s was coming on. And so I was like, oh, my cycle is changing. So to me, that didn't challenge anything that I knew. It was just different, you know?
Right.
So it was kind of, you know, several months of different and what different looked like and whether or not I felt like that was a good different or bad different or just neutral different, you know, that I started to be like, this ain't right. I don't know. You know, let me figure
it out. You know what else I noticed too? The older that we get, the more conversations we start to have about our cycles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so much is happening.
Younger. And I think that's something that needs to be discussed too, because as girls, if you're not talking to your mom or your mom wasn't really, you know, your mom would tell you, okay, you're going to get your period and that means you can get pregnant. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to go through menopause, but nothing in between, or maybe, you know, you're going to give birth, you know, but it was nothing, you know, in point. I didn't know my grandmother had a hysterectomy or why or what, but mom just happened to tell me. And I was like, do what? You know,
right. So
I didn't realize any of those things because you don't really talk about that. But I'm starting to notice now, like, we have a WhatsApp chat with the three of us that podcast together. And I remember before that, when we had a larger, you know, WhatsApp chat, we actually called it like the Vortex of Menses. Cause
you sure did. I forgot about that.
Right. Mm-hmm. We were always talking about our period. So, I mean, you know, I joke about it a little bit, but it's one of those things where mention your cycle change and you thinking, you know, well, I'm getting older, it's supposed mm-hmm. to change, or maybe this is what transitioning into menopause looks like in stages and decades and stuff. But sometimes, especially for Black women, you know, we're starting to see the commercials, BET, all of the, you know, being Mary Jane's coming on, every commercial was talking about fibroids when nobody really had those conversations before.
Mm.
And I think you're the first person that I knew that actually was openly tweeting.
Mm-hmm. I tried to. Well, it's one of those things that just as a general statement, I used Twitter when I got on Twitter, I think 2009, and I used Twitter as an accountability partner. That's actually was my original approach to Twitter. So part of me tweeting good night and good morning and I'm exercising, I'm working on my dissertation, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, was really so that people knew, so that because I was by myself, and because I spent so much time by myself, I just felt like I needed to report to someone and that it was going to keep me accountable. And I didn't have any particular one person that I wanted to do that with. So I kind of did it on social media. So that's how, you know, with my exercise, I started to do that on purpose, and all kinds of milestones in my dissertation. As a result, all these people started following me because they were like, oh, I need encouragement to finish my dissertation too, you know? And so fast forward, you know, 3 years later or whatnot, and when I started to know for sure that what I had was fibroids and try to figure out what I was going to do and what the best approach was, I decided to talk about it on purpose again, because I knew that there was at least one person who was reading my tweets who also was experiencing the same thing. So anytime I tweeted about it, I would always get somebody that would chime in, whether they were already following me or happened to be searching the hashtag and say something. So at different points, we had little communities where we talked about different aspects and symptoms and how we were feeling and what we were trying. But yeah, I did that on purpose to try to push the conversation, because, you know, the symptoms can be embarrassing or difficult, or, you know, you feel like, because nobody's going to talk about all the things that you have to do or deal with, typically they're not going to talk about it, that if you know that there's somebody out there who's dealing with this, like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy. It's not just me.
What do you think that having the experience, like post-surgery, post everything, do you think that changed the way you temple build, or was it the same before and after? Cause I mean, I feel like your routine was the same as far as mm-hmm. seeing you go through how you described it on social media, but mm-hmm. I know you have to work through the post-surgery thing, but I'm saying, do you feel differently now in the way that you temple build?
I don't feel any different. In fact, it's strange because it's almost kind of a footnote of something that happened a few months ago, mm-hmm. as opposed to it's almost kind of strange to have an absence of something that was so present for so long, but mm-hmm. it's like, no worries. I mean, the only thing now is that I can concentrate on my abdominal form for the first time in years and realize that, oh, I never really was engaging my lower abs. No wonder. You know, I can say I could pay more attention. I was doing a clean and press today, actually, and I was like, hold that, you know, suck this whole girdle in, girl, and tighten your abs so you don't mess up your back, you know. But I was able to really, really feel it when before I couldn't. That's probably the only difference. But in terms of my approach or how I feel, it's no different, because as soon as I was able to get back out there and start running or whatnot, I was back to running 3, then 4, then 5 miles. I ran all winter to make up for the fact that I couldn't run all fall. You know, it's just been like, let's go. Let's get it, girl.
Thing that scares people too is, especially if you go through something health wise, is that you're not going to be the same post health, you know, whatever, than you were before. So that's why I wanted to ask that question. If there was a difference pre and post,
it's not different for me. Of course that's also, I try to do a lot of mental, emotional, spiritual work ahead of time.
So that's that's temple building.
I was gonna say it's a part of what I've been doing all this time anyway. So I just, made sure that I kept my spirits up, my courage up, had a... As a joke, but that was also keep my spirits up too. So it would be something that was an inside joke that made me laugh.
That's not a joke. Leopard print is a transitional fabric.
I don't wear animal prints, everyone. However... Two people that I know, Sojo being one of them and Miss Smart being the other one, wear them and they think that this is some age ritual, but I am the oldest and I don't. However, so this is the story. When I was going into the hospital for my surgery, my doctor and the nurse both said, don't bring anything except a robe. You need to bring a robe because you don't want your back out and you don't want all these funky things you got to do with the gown. Bring a robe. So I didn't own a robe. So I went robe shopping.
And all the time. We didn't get into that part of temple building, but whatever. Go ahead.
And so shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
And you look like you're naked now, but go ahead.
I might be, but because they talked about animal prints all the time. When I went into Target, that's where I went actually, and looked at the robes, I was like, these robes aren't cute. I'm like, oh, but look at that one. That's leopard print. Ah, that's going to make me laugh. I should get that one. So I got that one really just to make me laugh. And it was really good because it was funny. And so it's kind of this ongoing joke.
We were like, look at that leopard print and a bold lip.
but that is part of it, right? Like for me, one of the elements of life is laughter. Like I always talk about the healing properties of laughter. So I think that I'm not temple building if I'm not including something that's going to, keep me smiling, And so to purposely lift my spirits, to purposely seek out reasons and ways to be cheerful each day. There's so many things that can get you down in the course of a day. And so if you start with a mentality of how can I increase my cheer, like my personal cheer, how can I just be a more cheerful person? That was a real major turning point for me in my life in general several years ago, because I'm actually a pretty serious person, and that's still true, but I've embedded this element of cheerfulness on purpose. And so I bring that to the house. I think that's one of the assets that I bring to the house is a spirit of cheer. So I think when you're talking about major surgery or any difficult time, if you have made it a practice to be a cheerful person, when you're going through something that could be a difficult time, you can approach it with a lighter mindset. So you can approach it more objectively as it is, as opposed to this doom and gloom, so that on the other side of it, you can also still experience life more cheerfully, even if things happen that were unexpected or not as you wanted them to be. So I think cheerfulness is an important part of life. That's just kind of a side thing, but I think it's important.
No, that's a very good thing, because this brings us to our last thing that we're going to talk about, is kind of advice for newbies, like this temple building from the ground up. You and I kind of like threw around like, it, if we were making a guide for people, what would people want to see? And I guess that's what we want to ask the audience too. if you're listening now or you're listening later on, like if there was a temple building guide or workbook or something like that, like what would you want to see in it? We kind of circle back. We're circling back to the very beginning when you talked about the edification of your mind, your body, and your spirit. And, you know, what you just said was something that's, you know, important too, like trying to find and bring joy and starting from a place with that. You don't like getting up at 5 a.m. I know one thing that I did for my alarm was I would make like funny jokes, you know, or whatever was my alarm message. Like, bitch, wake up, or, you know, why are you still sleeping? Do not hit snooze. You know, what are you doing? Snooze again? Really? Like,
I do that to my husband too. I say alarms, I'm like, you're supposed to be waking up. So I put little messages in the alarm and he starts laughing.
And start with something that's going to make you laugh or, you know, do, you know, whatever. I got a comment from Helkster. She says, my aha moment is that my sarcasm is not actually sarcasm around those unexpected moments in life. It's just my attempt to bring humor to otherwise bad situations. That's, you know, we kind of, you know, joke among ourselves because Helkster thinks that she has to work on her sarcasm, but it's never, I've never seen it as like a bad thing. But what she's saying is she realizes that right now, that's her way of bringing like a bad situation, kind of bringing lighthearted stuff. I'm very close to my college roommates. I'm very close to you. Y'all know I'm a troll. Like, I'm a straight up troll. So, like, if you say good morning, beauties, I'm like, did you brush your teeth yet? I mean, you know, I'm you know, whatever. Like, I kind of, you know, and sometimes, and I know, like, you know, some people are sensitive or, you know, whatever. But it's like, I kind of like, even with this self-care thing, like, I don't want to be a guru or an expert or, you know, whatever. I kind of just want to be like a cheerleader, like a, you know, you know, like, hey, you know, if something bad's going on, let me try to lighten the mood. Or even if it's not necessarily something bad is going on, but maybe if you need somebody to be like that light spot or whatever, saying something, you know, or whatever. So Helkster, the sarcasm, you're not sarcastic at all. You're funny. I love you. I care about you deeply. but no, but we talk about like if we were going to do something like with like how do you start from temple building from the you know the ground up, are there certain like certain pieces of advice for all three of those things, the mind, the body, and the spirit? Like what kind of advice would you give to somebody who's starting out trying to figure out how to temple build?
It's interesting because it makes me think about a time period. And I was trying to figure out when that was. I think it was 2009. It's 2009 where I was really down, stagnant. I was I had a difficult time at this moment of time in graduate school, and I actually thought about quitting at that time. And it brought my energy down so much to the point where I got sick and. I get colds probably once every 5 years or so. And it was, to me, that was kind of a clear wake up moment. Like I needed to get my, my life condition, my life energy, my vibration up. I needed to raise my vibration. So I started trying to think about, well, how am I going to do that? And so, yeah, first I was going to do kind of this, you know, 7-day program, kind of like a cleanse. And I didn't know what it was going to look like, but I was going to do it from Christmas to New Year's Eve, that sort of a thing. And I was going to start the year off with this new energy. And then some things happened and I couldn't start when I wanted to. So I was going to do a 3-day, like a weekend, and I was going to start the year off. And I was like, I don't need to do this get rich quick scheme with my spirit. I better take some time. So I decided I was going to do a whole program from whenever I started to my birthday, which ended up being 60 days, which is very different from 3 days or 7. And of course, I don't like gimmicks. You have to know that about me. I don't want to do anything that is kind of a gimmick, which is why I was so ridiculous that when I said 3 days and I had to check myself because I don't even like that kind of stuff. I wanted to do something sustainable. So I spent time actually journaling, and it wasn't the question, you know, how do you want to feel? But it was something akin to that, where I was thinking about what are the things that are important to me and how could I get to that? And let me see if I can even find what I was trying to. My focus was a quest to remember, honor, and polish my highest self, because I felt like I had forgotten who she was. And so I created this program for myself, but I think that the main thing that I wanted to share was what I call the daily divinity. And so they were five things that I did every day. And no matter what other tasks I did as part of the program, that these were the basics. So I did an affirmation every day, and it was one that I created. So even though you could definitely find lots of wonderful affirmations, and they were different each week, I did prayer, which for me is the chanting that I talk about. So that was, you know, non-negotiable. I made sure I had some kind of a spiritual text that I read, which could be anything for anybody. I had some Buddhist texts that I was reading, and I just spent 10 minutes a day doing that, just 10 minutes. And actually, I'm doing that right now. I'm doing 10 minutes a day. And then some kind of moment where I wanted to do, you know, 30, 45 minutes or whatever, but I just committed to 10 minutes of some sort of movement and then journaling. So those are my five things that I did every day: an affirmation, prayer, study, movement, and journaling. And so basically that all of it together could take about an hour if you really looked at those pieces. And I just did them every day. And so in addition to that, because I had some specific things I was working toward, I incorporated some specific tasks that I wanted to do. But just those five things, I'm just going to, you know, pray about it. I'm going to do a quick affirmation. I'm going to do a quick little reading, some kind of movement, even if it's just go outside, walk down the street 5 minutes, turn around and come back. You know, those five things, and then some kind of journaling. It could be a page, a paragraph. It didn't matter. That's it. And it really lightened me. It did exactly what I wanted to do, because I was just focused on developing myself for those little blocks of time each day, no matter what. So I just think that from the ground up, I would say pick a couple of however many, but create your own daily divinity, whatever that is. A couple of things that you could commit to for a short amount of time every day. And commitment is the word. That it's going to be important to you, that you know, based on your own inner wisdom, because you already know what it is that's going to help push you forward. For some people, they have to read their Bible and they know it, and they haven't read it in the past year, and that's why they feel empty. You know, for some people, they have to see the sunrise every morning and they haven't done it, and that's why they feel empty. So whatever it is you know you have to do, incorporate that on purpose. That is the beginning of temple building, and everything else starts to come naturally, because then you want to treat your body differently. You want to eat differently, or you want to make different choices because you're honoring those parts that you know you can do already. So.
Major key, like DJ Khaled. But no, seriously, you know, you mentioned coming up with that because you realized that you had to do something. That's why, you know, before I started doing the calendars and stuff that I do for Phenomenal, you know, I used to do my own little programs. And it was because I was like, okay, what do I want to feel like? Or what do I think is missing? I could buy a self-help book, or, you know, consume something that somebody else made, but what personalizes it to me? And that's what I want, like us to do in this community, is to be able to have the tools to develop things of our own that speak to us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think in March, I think I was like, okay, this week I want you guys to, we were doing the five senses. I want you all to create, you know, pleasure rituals using your five senses. Mm-hmm. Don't just use what I said, you know,
Don't do me, do you. Do you, girl.
Exactly. And then I love the, you know, and I want to tweet this in a minute, but, you know, choose your daily divinity. What is your daily divinity? Because that's something to really think about. What are things? Maybe it's not five. Maybe it's three things. Maybe it's just one thing.
Maybe it's just one.
What's your daily divinity? Like, what is it that makes you feel like you? And then it's living and breathing just like us. It changes just like us. So your daily divinity in February might be something completely different when the seasons change and it's fall. You know, what's your daily divinity in November? You know, so I love that. I love that. But any last things before we go ahead and wrap it up?
The only thing I'll say is, you know, you have to be gentle with yourself. So if you're not judging yourself, especially if you are trying to implement new practices, whatever you do is the right thing because it's a step. That's really important. So don't judge the step. Well, she's already doing all these other things. It don't matter. We're talking about you, your first step, your next step, you know. And so whatever it is that's going to help you know, if you're not sure, you're like, well, she says I should know, but I don't know. So then go do something like journal. Maybe you like to draw, go draw. Maybe you have a place where you could go walk and just walk the same path a few times, because when you do routine things, it gives your mind space to wander. And so my point is, get to a place where you can hear yourself and say, oh, duh, I knew that I needed to be doing such and such. Mm-hmm. So if that's meditating, like Val said, you know, or she said quiet time. So if that's in your bath at night, you know, like you take a bath, you know, so whatever your rituals are that you already have, you know, or if you don't, just spend some time, get a sticky note, just something, listen to yourself, give yourself a chance to express itself to you out loud. So that connection of awareness, so that you can say, oh, that's what you want me to do. Okay, I'll do that. And it's okay if you misheard, because then you'll know, oh, that actually wasn't the right thing.
Yeah, that wasn't it. That doesn't feel right.
that's not right. So then you change it. No big deal.
What I also found too is once you start doing that, you start being aligned with other people in ways where you realize that certain things are confirmation for what you were feeling in that moment or what you were led to do. I know sometimes we're so close that we share a brain, you know, at times, and I'll do something and you'll say, I was just thinking about this, or you'll do something and I'll be like, dang it, that girl just said, you know, exactly what I was thinking in that moment. So for me, it's like, it's more than just because we know each other so well, maybe being on the same wavelength. I almost feel like sometimes it's like God's way of confirming that whatever it was I was thinking, or whatever it was that I was, you know, whatever, it's saying, yes, that was it. Like the other day when I was like tweeting, you know, create, 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 because that's really the thing that I want us as women to not forget to do, especially with this temple building thing, is don't be afraid to create. That's create right. For ourselves. Like if you're an artist, do something that's creative in art. If you're a mathematician, solve a math problem or do a, you know, whatever it is, just your spirit was meant to create. So don't forget that. But even when I tweeted create, 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 you were like, wait a minute, Mel.
Yeah, I'm like, you cheating off me. That's my theme for the year.
Right, because you were blogging at the same time. So it was like, wait a minute. But again, that was confirmation that whatever was in the atmosphere at that time, you know, it's aligned. It's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up because we've been chatting for a little over an hour. I hope you guys, especially if you're listening later, we do want you to hit us up if you have any thoughts or any things that you want to add or any questions, because we can always go back and revisit things. If you are listening or watching the video, because I know all of the members of the community have the video, but if you want a copy of the audio of this, I am going to download it, and you guys can email me at selfcareis@phenomenal.com, and I will send you guys a copy of the audio version of this hangout. But before we sign off, Buddha, tell them all the places that they can find you.
I guess I have to start with Snapchat because I'm on there now.
Listen, if y'all aren't on Snapchat, please get on Snapchat, not just because the foolery. And I know, like, especially if you have teenage kids or, you know, whatever, you're thinking that it's something just for teenagers. But it really is something where, like you do it so well, where you just show your routine for the day or show your temple building thing. I wish that I was able to, like, screen share
Me too. Sometimes I want to share.
Yeah, your temple building, or even like, you know, one of my things that I like to do is go get water from the spring. I had a lot of people that were like, can you make that into a video? And I was, you know, going to the spring and showing people where I got water. But, you know, do something on Snapchat, because that way, if you're a private person, it's not out on social media, on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever. It's just for, you know, people that are following you. But get into Snapchat. Like,
yeah,
I told you it was going to be good.
Yeah. I even blogged about it yesterday. But you can find me on Snapchat and Twitter at NDCHARP. That's NDC Harp, like the instrument. You can find me on my blog. I've been blogging just a little bit each day the last week or so. I'm going to keep doing that through the beginning of June. And I'm at cocostudio.com. That's COCO studio, singular, cocostudio.com. So those are the primary ways you can reach me, Snapchat, Twitter, and my website.
I love that you incorporated Snapchat.
Blah, blah, blah. If I'm not on it anymore by the time you get on it, y'all, just
shut up. You're going to be
I'm
on
it. Always going to be on Twitter. That's my favorite place.
But I think that, you know, what you've inspired me to do today is actually maybe starting tomorrow, do something with my daily divinity, because you've given me something to really think about. And I will be sharing that on my Snapchat. But yeah, we do want to thank everybody, the people who were watching, the people who gave comments. Again, if you're listening afterwards, this is a living, breathing thing. So if you have comments afterwards, don't be scared to show us or, you know, let us know. You can tweet Buddha at NDC Harp. You can also tweet me. I have two Twitter accounts. It's SOJOXOXO. That's actually my main Twitter handle and also my Snapchat handle, SOJOXOXO. But of course, I am on Phenomenal on Twitter and Facebook and the website, and it's PHYINOMENAL. And I do want you guys to also share this with one of your girlfriends. Like, if you think that somebody could, you know, benefit from what we've had to talk about today, or if it's affecting you in some way and you want to start a conversation with somebody else, please, you know, go ahead and do that, because we do want this self-care, this temple building, all of this holistic wellness for us to become something that's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I will talk to you guys later. Buddha, thank you for joining me for my very first Phenomenal Hangout.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you guys later. I want to say cheers like we
do. I do too.
Ryan with WWF, but I got to think of another sign off. So how about divinity?
Oh, goodness. Self-care is.
Right. Self-care is. Bye, y'all.
Bye.